advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny things.
Give me the eyeball.
Yeah, I was giving you the eyeball.
I liked it.
Nice.
I was jealous. I saw it go down.
Yeah, you should have been. It was a big eye.
He's a big guy.
He is a big guy.
It's a sideways eye.
I got a black guy's tee right here.
Yeah, you do.
Awkward.
No.
Every time we go to the coffee shop, if you're new to the show, we order black guy's tea and just look at the barista and see if they notice, but they don't.
I haven't been called out yet.
No, they just give you a black guy's tea.
Yeah. It's not what I ordered.
Yeah.
I ordered a black guy's tea.
Yeah, I ordered a black guy's tea.
Those are purple, but they never give it to you.
If there's ever a black guy in there, you should point at him when you order it.
Yeah. Can I get a black guy's tea?
Yeah. What would a black guy's tea be, Dave?
Purple drink.
Purple drink? A black guy's tea?
That'd be sweet tea.
It'd be sweet tea.
Sweet
for
tea.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have to be. A lot of sugar. A bag of sugar.
Yeah.
At least.
How big's a bag?
Pound. 1 pound bag.
Man, you're like Fight Club.
Yeah, he was like fucking boom. Just like pound.
Last meal, pizza. Done. He knows what's up. We can drink this whiskey.
Yep. So we have a new whiskey. It is it's what I'm fucking talking about. Is what it is.
All right.
You're right.
This is what I'm fucking talking about. And the reason it's what I'm fucking talking about is it's a local Arkansas whiskey. And it's what I love to see show up at the show. It's like something that we can't get locally. We're never going to be able to try this outside of the fact that Uriel Beltran was awesome and sent it to us. So we want to give a shout out and try it. It's Rocktown Arkansas Bourbon Whiskey. Oh, I thought it was a Kentucky whiskey. I guess I was wrong.
Bourbon. Can be Kentucky whiskey.
And
they
gave us
whiskey.
Custom glasses too that are Arkansas Fat.
Big Fat Shot. Yeah. And it has different...
Mine's at buzzed. Mine's at buzzed.
Yeah.
Filled it.
Here we go. Oh, that's good.
That is good.
You call it spicy, Dave, and it's not spicy. A little bit. It's got a little spice.
I say no.
It's like a...
Only on the sides of my tongue, though.
It's grainy.
Yeah.
It tastes like a grain. It's very like caramely and sweet.
It is.
But there wasn't much spice.
Mm-mm.
Like it's
very smooth.
It smelled
bourbon.
It smelled like it was going to be very spicy, and it is not. And it's 92 proof and not spicy, which is like extra spectacular.
So this says buzzed, warm, tingly feeling. I got the warm, tingly feeling.
Yeah, I got a warm tingle.
Down there.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, schnockered. It's got levels on the back.
Buzzed, schnockered.
Tipsy, drunk, and schnockered. If you filled that shit with schnockered, that is not a shot. That's a fucking rocks glass.
Well, that's like
five
shots.
Yeah, it says it's a shot glass, but it's actually a small rock glass. It's the Arkansas Big Fat Shot. So thank you, Uriel. It is a delicious whiskey.
That was a double shot. The buzzed was a double shot.
Probably. Right.
Pretty sure.
Small batch handcrafted Rocktown. If you're in the area and you see it, Rocktown is delicious.
Grainy, caramely. Not too spicy.
No, not at all.
Just the right amount.
And our...
thank you, Uriel Mantrain.
Speaking of spicy, see what I did there?
Mm-hmm. Nice transition,
What?
That was segue good, buddy. Way good.
So our primary sponsor, El Yucateco, we give away our weekly hot sack to winners. And what was your original post, Brent? What did you ask for?
I think I just said
what's the one you deleted?
I said a funny meme, and then you guys got to realize, dude, this is a public page where we do this. Like, you guys crawl out of the group with dicks in your hands and just go crazy
and
on
in
the
their
public
mouths.
Thing. It's for our sponsor. We're trying to get fun to give away prizes and advertise El Yucateco at the same time. And like the first thing is just like a bottle in someone's ass. You know what I mean? Like just Like, actually, it was Jen Myers. Myers with dick pics with the bottle.
Then that should at least squatting. Be the third thing.
Yeah, and then it was someone squatting, and then Mike Milionis. It shouldn't earn him a shout out, but he just got it. But he usually does cool stuff like the animations and like the drone shooting bottles and stuff. But he just went like
he did Kulo stuff.
No, he did like 1950 like Rhett Ryder BB gun ads or something weird, but just profane versions of like 50s ads. And it was just like, so I was like, okay, delete. And it's like Facebook had a problem. I was like, God dang it. And then I was like, hide, hit them all. And I message him and then I go back to refresh and there's just like eight other guys squatting over bottles and all kinds of shit. And I was just like, damn it. So I deleted the whole post because it was just too difficult.
Fuck you guys.
Yeah. Went back, reposted and just said, keep it clean. Ugh, yeah.
Nice.
Anyway, we ended up with 77. Yeah. Nice. Comments. That was a really good engagement. Yeah.
Actually, we didn't pick a winner. The winner picked themselves.
Exactly. Yeah.
It just happens.
It was Ryan Lashley and it was a image of Sweet Brown.
Yeah.
Perhaps my favorite internet phenomenon.
That was pretty good.
Ever. I think it was probably my favorite. It's like Sweet Brown.
It's still going. That's how good it is. Yeah, it's been like 10 years.
With maybe like Trololo to me might be second place under Sweet Brown.
Who's that one?
The Russian crazy android guy who sings.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Holy shit. We will have to watch it on the break because Trololo is fucking fantastic.
I never heard of it.
But Sweet Brown and then the meme says spicy ketchup. Anybody got time for that?
Perfect. That's a nice, clean
it is.
Meme.
And if you're listening to the show and you've never seen the Sweet Brown YouTube clip, do yourself a favor and watch it. And watch the extended version with the song at the end because it's worth the wait.
That whiskey's got some fruity notes.
It does. It's good whiskey. Yeah. It's good.
The one of my favorite videos of all time, though, was Double Rainbow.
Oh, Double Rainbow's fantastic.
And that guy, he swears he wasn't on drugs. Have you ever seen Double Rainbow? Mm-hmm. He's like double rainbow all the way across the sky.
What does it mean?
You know, it's a triple rainbow. He's still, he's having like rainbow gasms on camera.
Who was?
It's this guy, like sees a rainbow. He's like, fucking
Keanu Reeves.
There's a rainbow. Yeah, it's like, he's like, oh, it's so beautiful. Look, it's a rainbow. It's almost it's a double rainbow.
It's a double rainbow.
Yeah, and he starts crying at the end.
No, he's on drugs.
And then, it was like he's on mushrooms or something. It was so intense, dude. And then finally, he's like crying at the end.
I want to do acid and go to Disneyland.
I only have two hits, Dave. You're out. Let's do it.
I'm good. Daniel Tosh had that guy on his show for a web redemption. And like, you just watch the guy talk and you're like, no, that's that guy.
He just talks
like he's that. Either permanently on drugs or the drugs already did their damage.
He's like a Native American and allowed to live in the middle of Yellowstone Park or something crazy.
Something weird.
He lives in the middle of a national park.
Oh, you should have said that. I understand the voice now.
Yeah. Oh, three days of
three rainbows. Oh,
yeah, 99 pelts. Dave hates it because he's Navajo, man. He does it with his horse. He loves it.
Yeah,
I'm not Navajo.
Gracer, you do it with your horse.
You're not a hoe.
You're black German.
I'm Blackfoot.
You love
you're
it.
You're a hoe. I'm not a hoe.
Apple Hasselhoff.
You're black. You rock too.
You're Blackfoot.
Freaks at every show. I am Blackfoot.
I am too.
Are you really?
That's why we get along.
Fuck yeah.
You're not Blackfoot.
Yes, I am.
Take a DNA test. I bet you're not.
I bet you I am.
And find out you're Nova Scotian.
My grandpa was a quarter. My great grandpa.
So says grandpa.
Great grandpa.
My no, brother.
You think my great grandpa would lie to me?
Yes.
He's rolling over in his grave right now. Mm-hmm.
I know he is. How am I going to get behind him?
Yeah.
No, my brother thought his whole life that he was like Apache or some shit.
Yeah.
He's you know, not. Like had casino money.
He was one of those pussy.
Because his grandpa was like full-blooded Apache or something. Then we find out he goes and does that DNA, mm-hmm. whatever it's called, 21, some shit. Mm-hmm. He does it and finds out that he's like Asian and
everybody's
white.
Asian and or black.
Because exactly. Genghis Khan got a bonnet.
Yeah, that's everybody's right. Asian. That's like everybody has like a some percentage of Asian mm-hmm. in them.
But not Native American though.
Yeah.
Well, we should do it. We should crowdfund it.
That'd be funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's you not guys expensive, is it?
No, it's $100, I think. It'd be $300 like to that. Do it.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a fun thing to do, though.
We're so poor. We have to crowdfund that.
I do. Only me. Just help.
I do. I don't have any money. I just got forced to buy a trailer.
Forced.
So, yeah.
How much time we got?
You got to keep your family happy. Awesome. I don't know.
Someone messaged today that this 15 minutes of bullshit was their favorite part. And it always makes me feel good when that happens.
Yeah. That's why I said those people that don't like it are just the ones who don't like it.
I need to restate. I really appreciate topic suggestions, but please, if you could put them in the group, because It's happening again.
Yeah, we can't get to it.
Yeah, it's like super hard. It's not that I don't mind like redirecting everybody. It's just, it's going to get forgotten if you just,
yeah, it is.
In the group, if you just go to the pinned post at the top of the page and put your suggestion there, that would be awesome. Cause I just get so many messages and I feel like everyone thinks they're the only one doing it. They're like, hey, I know I'm supposed to put them in the group, but like, why are you doing it then?
Is it his birthday today?
It is. Yes.
Okay. So Gabriel Zero, happy birthday. He's a Patreon member. And he gives us money. I think he's one of the top patrons. He's like $200 a month.
He turned 17 today. Mm-hmm. He's really young.
He turned 17. Yeah. He's an internet, gay porn phenomenon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Only in Asia though, where it's legal to do that when you're 17.
Well, that and his penis is bigger.
Yeah.
Right.
So
his penis is 19.
Right. He's named Gabriel Zeros.
19 millimeters. Yes. Yeah. Doesn't quite make an inch.
That might be big. I don't know. I don't know the metric system.
They call him the inchworm. But they call him in Asia.
That's why it's called Gabriel Zeros.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's big for an inchworm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So happy birthday, Gabriel. We're going to open, I guess he sent us presents. So this is how it should be done.
This is exactly right.
Yeah. When it's your birthday, you send us presents.
It's the best way to do your birthday.
Yeah. We can't send you presents. So you send us presents and we'll open them.
We talked about, it's simple math. This is the thing. Yeah. There are thousands of you guys and there's only three of us.
Yeah. Right.
We couldn't possibly send all you guys presents.
It's impossible.
No. But you guys could send us presents on your birthday. Easy. It makes sense. It's only three of us.
That's right. Your birthday, be generous. You're already getting presents from people. Yeah. You're having a grandiose time. Include us in that.
Exactly.
Send us your presents. Happy my birthday, guys.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. And then we'll open them. So we're going to open these on Thursday's questions or answers show because it is for our patrons.
And it's video. If we're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
You'll see it happen live. Right. It'll be really awkward.
So if Gabriel gave us some bunk ass presents, you're going to see them. We won't be exaggerating. So.
Oh man. I hope it's something good. I'm nervous.
I don't know. What could it be?
I don't know. What's his name? Gave you a Playboy one time. We didn't know what was going on. Remember we got that?
That's Playboy with the sticky pages?
Andy Sandenberg.
Yep. Andy Sanders.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. See, that's why I turned this keyboard off. I always hit it. Yeah. That's why it's off.
Move to the side.
That would have stopped us from recording.
So our topic today is...
They already know, Dave.
The notorious... I'm telling you.
Oh, you're telling... I didn't know.
Yeah, exactly.
They know.
It's the notorious B.I.G., Biggie Smalls.
Brad said Christopher Wallace, and I was like, it's like Braveheart or something, probably. I'll look into this. And the white guy in me was like very surprised.
Brent saw, that sounds boring. He's like, I don't even know who that is. Like,
freedom, yeah, something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Kilts, probably.
Christopher Wallace. Christopher McWallace.
Yeah, William Wallace, Christopher Wallace. That's not a stretch, sir. You can see where I was going.
So we're talking about jumbo shrimp.
That's right.
Is that he has another name?
No.
So Biggie Smalls, aka the notorious B.I.G.
Oh, Biggie Smalls, Jumbo Shrimp. Yeah, that's right. All right.
Yeah. So I'll enter the confessional. We're in a safe space here. I never really liked Biggie.
Oh my God.
And I know why. Doing research on Biggie, I realized why I never, because I hear from like everybody who likes hip hop, everybody who likes rap, he's always credited as one of the best in the game. Like he's universally considered one of the best.
Yes.
And I was watching a lot of his videos while I was doing research and I was like, his flow is impeccable. His lyrics are impeccable.
Storytelling.
Like his storytelling is fucking phenomenal. Like he never pauses. You never hear him pause for breath. You never, like he does things that seem very impossible to do if you're rapping in a flow. And I realized why I never listened to him was because I've never cared for Puffy's beats.
Oh yeah.
I've never cared for the music behind Biggie. I think if there was a different music behind them,
East Coast. Exactly. You know what I mean? Like exactly. East Coast. If you're not into the West Coast, like we did Tupac and Tupac has those West Coast, Dr.
Absolutely.
Dre,
absolutely.
It's a, you know, type beats.
Totally different thing.
East Coast is a little more orchestra sampling, you know, like there's a little more, it's a little raw.
Right.
And you have to appreciate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Brent knows what I'm talking about. He raw dogs the beat.
Cause I've never been able to pin down why I don't like him. And when I was watching him, I was watching video after video and I was just watching him do his shit. And I was like, this guy is fucking amazing. And then, but the, I was so underwhelmed by the music behind it that I think that's really what, what's
See, and up. You need to listen to remixes with different people's beats.
Oh, nice. Then they probably blow my mind.
Yeah. I watched, speaking of the music behind it, I watched Behind the Music on him, and it, there was like dudes that would like grab the, somehow they would get the audio while they were in the studio before.
It's because it's tracked.
Yeah. So before it get mixed, they would grab it and then they would run out and remix it, and they were showing their friends and shit before like anyone had it.
Right.
Yeah. Which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people still do that now. Mm-hmm. Like they have LA Leakers.
Yeah. It was impressive though, because they were showing actual footage of him just standing out there where they're like drinking beers on the sidewalk when he was young. He was really young. And that shit sounded like legit. It sounded, you know what I mean? He's just standing on the sidewalk with a microphone.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
Oh yeah. He's dope. Like I can't,
some people are meant to, he's like, there's Beethoven and then there's guys that can do that shit.
Right. Yeah.
Like I couldn't even pretend.
And everybody like when you, cause Puffy, AKA P Diddy, AKA D Pity, AKA
he had a different Sean strokes Combs. Fro back in the day, dude, he that did. Was showing him with the pick and shit. He changed his shit.
Yeah.
He was like Conor McGregor before he got pimp suits. Like P Diddy.
And I think you're right. I never liked, anything Puffy did really. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the music. I didn't like when he did stuff with Mace. You know, I just, it just didn't appeal to me.
Right.
But that guy, now a lot of rappers, they're fake, you know, like they're not real gangsters. You know, they didn't come from the street. You know, you have the mumble rappers now that are just like, what are they saying?
Yeah.
But who are these guys?
Someone makes a decision to say, put that on the fucking radio.
But other kids like it. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, and you know, somebody like Notorious B.I.G., who's just the rhyming and the sheer talent that guy had, regardless whatever beats he was on.
Right.
It was just amazing.
And some of the stuff that you guys are saying came from P. Diddy. Like he didn't want to do a lot of that. P. Diddy made him go radio a little bit.
Yeah.
Like he was on an interview and he was just like, he's making me do this radio shit. And I really don't want to do this radio
it's
shit.
It's all about money.
It's like, it's part of the game, man. Cause he had the business aspect where he was just trying to be gangster.
Yeah. And that's what I was getting at with Puff Daddy. I've watched some stuff where, people were calling Puff Daddy a bitch and all this stuff. And other people were like, No, fuck with Puff Daddy. Like this motherfucker is from the streets. And so like looking at him, you're like, nah, he's just fucking some silver spoon fucking, you know, douchebag.
Right. No. And I didn't realize that until we did the Tupac Shakur episode.
Yeah.
And when we did Tupac and
did you say Tupac Shakur? I don't think we did that one.
Yeah. Shakur. I think I just said his last name with
Tupac.
We didn't make that mashup. Let's make it happen.
Tupac Shakur. How's that lady sing? Like fucking.
That was close. You just need some tight pants.
Shake my head.
Yeah.
Stop.
That was
even easy. Though you don't have the pants, the voice is making me think about the pants. It's causing problems. You need to move on.
But looking at that, I was like, wow. Cause I was the same thing. I didn't think P. Diddy had any fucking street cred.
Yeah. No,
like I just, but he, he's
and I watched the interview. I know this isn't about him, but I watched the interview with him talking about, you know, why he, had that drive and why he pushed and Biggie actually made Puff Daddy big.
I think.
You know, Puff Daddy had the business mind. But Biggie actually was the talent behind that.
Because Puff Daddy hadn't, he didn't even have songs yet. He hadn't rapped.
No, he was just
producing.
No, yeah, he was just producing. But Puff Daddy had an interview with like some college, it was all black, you know, college students.
Right.
And he was talking about what drove him. And the one thing he said, you know, which resonated with me because I grew up like this and not black, but poor.
Kinda, a little bit.
And, He said, you know, you wake up every day with roaches on your face, you know, like that's what drove him to do better. Like he didn't want that for him. He didn't want that for his kids.
Right.
And that's my life. You know, I woke up with a roach under my shirt every day because I was warm, you know, like, and I hate cockroaches. I fucking hate them. Right. And so like, I watched that interview with him and I was like, wow, man, like fucking that is something somebody from growing up tremendously poor, would know, you know? And so Biggie, coming into, hip hop when he did at the same time and Puffy pushing him, created this just monster. Like,
and I mean, in a way they almost found each other because, but we'll get to P. Diddy here in a second.
My skin's crawling from Brad's cockroach
from the
story.
Cockroach story.
Like,
so,
mostly cause he kept saying cock.
Looking back to his childhood. And by the way, just to clarify, he was Big E. Like he was 6'3" and the coroner's reported his death was 385 pounds.
Damn.
So he was a fucking
big boy.
He
owned it. Yeah.
Yeah, he did. He did own it.
Does BIG stand for something though? It's like B dot I dot G. Like it's a-
well, what happened was the when he was a kid, everybody called him Biggie.
Right.
And then once he started doing his first rap stuff, he called himself Biggie Smalls, which is like a throwback to a blaxploitation action film.
Wasn't he super Quest villain. Or some shit at some point in time?
MC too? Quest yeah. was his first name, but then he became Biggie Smalls. And part of it deals with the way his record contracts worked out, because he signed with Uptown Records, which is where Puffy worked. But then Puffy created his own record company, and Biggie was his first artist because he basically took him with him. So the first record company said, you can't call yourself Biggie Smalls. We own the rights to Biggie Smalls music.
Oh.
So he had to change his name to Notorious B period I period G period to get away from his other name, even though everyone still just called him Biggie. But he had to, it was a legal bullshit move. So he was born 1972, Brooklyn, New York. His parents were from Jamaica. His dad was a welder and left them when Biggie was two. And so his mom, Violetta, had to like work triple overtime. And I had a lot from what I read about her. I had mad respect for her because she didn't just like bust her ass to like keep him fed. She busted her ass to send him to the best schools in New York,
which is kind of crazy that he ended up slinging crack. Like you see him in like all dressed up in a little suit in Catholic school, and it didn't look like the hard life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
well, it depends on your neighborhood.
Yeah.
I mean, you're growing up in a bad neighborhood. You're growing up in a bad neighborhood. Doesn't matter what school you get.
I guess having
a
Jamaican mom was a problem. Like they would make, they would give you shit if your mom was Jamaican.
Oh really?
Yeah. Like it was the thing I saw on the thing, and she would like yell out the window and tell them to come to dinner. Like, you know, in the super Jamaican accent, and let them know that the fish soup is ready.
The fish soup, fish head soup.
They put fish in everything.
They like, they like the fish.
She could only work like double over double time, like to feed him, like because the triple I think went overboard.
Do you guys remember the?
That's true.
The Jamaican skit on A Living Color.
I do.
Like nine jobs and shit.
You got nine jobs.
You got nine jobs, man.
You only got nine. It was like, you only got nine jobs, man. You only got nine jobs. I'd be having 13. Yeah.
I'd be having 15 jobs, man. Yeah. What do you work at? Right near the beach.
Nine jobs. Were you on vacation?
You're kicking back with your feet up at home, man.
Yeah. What, do you sleep? You're sleeping or something? You could be making fish head soup.
So he ends up transferring to Westinghouse Career and Technical Education High School, which sounds like that some bullshit. Like a- but it's actually like, again, a hot shit school. Like Westinghouse, the electronics company.
Forever, yeah.
Like it's his school. It's his technical school in New York City. And oddly enough, it's like the breeding ground for rappers. Like, because not only did Biggie go to that school, DMX, Jay-Z, and Busta Rhymes all went to high school there.
Did they go there in hopes of learning how to like use the equipment or something? Maybe, like
maybe, maybe they had a dope AV program, so they were like soundboards or something.
Weird,
I don't know, but yeah, that was a
working
that
on
was
the
a pretty,
EQ, man.
That's a pretty crazy roll call for one fucking high school.
It's my new Patreon character,
Mr. Jamaica man.
Yeah,
you want to make the fish head soup, man?
Unsta.
So Biggie apparently did really well in English, but he dropped out of school, aka was kicked out of school. I kind of read two different reports because he was always skipping. He was always late. He was always whatever. And this is when he was starting to run with a bad crowd, and he was starting to deal crack on the streets. He was starting to fuck around. So even though she set him up for a really dope education, which I think probably paid off.
The streets sucked him in.
I mean, the streets sucked him in, but it's kind of like Tupac. He was from the street, but he also had very educated parents who made sure he had a good education.
Yeah.
So I think like that street living gave him the cred and gave him stuff to talk about. But I think that good education made him a better lyricist and gave him a little bit of a more formal education of how to produce, how to do all that shit. So I think it was like a perfect combo for someone who was already going to be naturally skilled. So he dropped out in 1989 at the age of 17. And he starts selling drugs. And he's like right near his mom's apartment. Like he's just selling them right there in the hood, you
right
know?
Near the beach.
Right. And
right near the streets, man.
Throughout this whole era of his late teenage years, he ends up on the wrong side of the law. He ends up getting a 5 year, 5 years of probation for being arrested on weapons possession charges. The next year he was arrested for violating that probation. The year after that, he was charged with dealing cocaine in North Carolina and spent 9 months in jail.
Across state lines.
So he was like, he was living the street life, like for sure. Like he was,
at some point when his career starts to take off, like Puff Daddy had to stop him, buy him a train ticket and say, don't go buy that crack, whatever he's going to do.
Yeah. After his first single dropped and he was starting, well, he wasn't making money, but Uptown Records was making money, but he had to start selling crack again. And Puffy had to fucking,
he said, like, hey, yeah, don't, you have to stop, brought him back, bought him a train ticket. And he's like, man, this shit better work out. Cause I was about to make a ton of money off that crack.
Right. Cause cause apparently he had just had a baby with his high school sweetheart at the time. So, but he started rapping and it wasn't even like his goal or his dream or anything. Apparently, from what I read, he just recorded a demo because he wanted to hear how he sounded over beats.
Right.
And like, it wasn't some big aspiration of his or anything. And somehow that demo tape got leaked almost immediately. And it made its way onto the Source magazine, ended up getting a copy of the tape, and they wrote a thing on Biggie in what they called the unsigned hype column in 1992. So it was like, this guy is out of nowhere. We have no idea.
We don't know who he is.
But, but this is some dope shit.
Yeah. If this is you, please contact us.
Exactly.
Yeah. I watched some of the record execs talk about that unsigned thing, because one of them was like, I don't ever look at the pictures. I don't want to see the guy, because people wanted to be like Ken and Barbie. Like, you have to be pretty and be able to do it.
Right.
And obviously he wasn't like,
what
did he say? He called himself like black and ugly or something.
Well, those are two true statements.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he had the one wonky eye and shit. Yeah. He fucking owned that shit. Yeah.
He did.
But so
are you looking at me, Biggie? Who are you looking at? You looking at me?
No, there's the dude from Wu-Tang was talking about him. He was like, this motherfucker walks in the room. And he was like, that dude.
Yeah, fucking pigeon eyes.
Crazy ass eye. And it's like, he's like, I was judging him. He's like, I was judging my way. And an hour passed and he was the hottest motherfucker in the room.
Yeah.
He's like, that motherfucker was cool. I forgot about it. He's like, first he had a crazy eye and he was ugly as fuck and he was fat. And that's all I could think about. I had no respect. He's like, within an hour, he was the coolest fucking guy in the room.
Right,
and I had mad respect for him. They said he was really funny, you know, and they showed him in
Clowning. Well, he's a witty guy, you know, like to be able to write like he did, you know, you have to be
quick.
Yeah. You're just that guy.
That was another huge thing they said is like in the studio, he would do two takes at most. Didn't write anything down. Yeah. He would just sit there and bob his head and be like, all right, I'm ready. Walk in there and fucking just knock it out.
That's what Puffy said. Yeah. Puffy said that I saw a fairly recent interview with him and he said of all the rappers he's ever worked with, he said he's never worked with somebody as gifted as Biggie. And he said that same thing. He said he would just go in and just nail it in a take, like in a way that no professional can ever do it.
We are the Biggie Smalls of podcasting.
You think so, huh?
It's one take, no edit.
Yeah. That's true.
We do pull off like songs and all kinds of shit one take.
Yeah. That's true. But that also implies that we nail it.
Yeah. And that we're big and black. One of us.
Yeah.
I'm big and blackish.
Yeah. Blackish.
Like a stew pot of Biggie Smalls. Or the fish stew.
That's right.
The fish, what is it? Fish soup.
I thought you were telling me that my rap name was Stew Pot and I wasn't sure.
Yeah, could
Kid
be.
Nugget, fool.
Yeah. So, anyway, so Puffy starts Bad Boy Records in 1992, and this is the same year that he was basically getting courted by Uptown, and he recorded.
Isn't that when like Bad Boy was cool? That stupid fucking logo.
Yeah, he's seen the sticker on the back of the car, the fucking guy with his arm. Yeah.
That's like, exactly right.
The fucking the flat top haircut,
the white surfer buff.
Yeah. He's like, you know what? We're gonna take that and make it cool,
right? Yeah. Friend of mine got that tattoo when I was in high school. Ooh. Huge, like right on his bicep.
I have a Bad Boy jiu-jitsu gi.
Oh,
and
really?
I'm like, I gave it to somebody, but like, I was like, I couldn't stop thinking about that. My dad had one of those stickers on the back on his Chevelle, in the back window. And I was like, fuck.
It's like old dudes with the big dog shirts.
Yeah. I'm like, did the Colombians not know that existed?
Yeah.
Like,
right. So the timing goes that he records a song for Uptown on a remix of a Mary J. Blige song called Real Love. And at that same time, he's recording his first solo album for Bad Boy and for Puffy, but Uptown releases Mary J. Blige's, and that's why he has to change his name, because that song came out with Biggie Smalls, so he couldn't use that name legally. But then his first album came out in 93. and the first big hit was Party and Bullshit. And my brother loved Biggie. Like, I was never into him. My brother would sing the chorus of Party and Bullshit all the time. There was a good decade of my brother's life where out of the blue he would just scream, "If you don't know, now you know, nigga." Yeah. Like, yeah. He was just out of nowhere.
I mean, Party and Bullshit, Tech N9ne has a song called Party and Bullshit, you know, like they do it as tributes, you know, like to artists, you know, and most rap all the way up from, you know, when Biggie was hitting his prime. Mm-hmm. All the way from then and after he died to now is, you know, artists have done so many different variations of his verses.
Right.
So many just different takes and tributes. Drake, you know what I mean? I know so many artists that have just taken just almost word for word and used some sort of section or a paragraph or something from some of his rhymes and fit them in. And most people don't know.
Does that always come across as a tribute though? It's like obvious.
Most times. Yeah. Because those guys didn't steal the lines thinking like, this is one of the most popular rappers in the world. Right. You know, one of the most recognized.
That's where a lot of the Tupac
rappers.
Beef thing came from. He said that Biggie like bit his style and like tried to take his style.
Yeah. And the problem is that they're two completely different.
I have to admit though, when I was re-listening to like the earliest Biggie stuff while I was doing this research, there was a certain vocal intonation that he and Tupac shared, and I can't say one of them stole it from the other one. But his next album.
Yeah,
Biggie changed. He found his own way,
and that could be possible because Tupac and Biggie grew up together.
Right,
they were friends.
Yeah, they were.
So
friends.
I'm assuming Biggie probably heard Tupac rap.
Biggie says that Tupac like kind of
guided him
and said like, yeah, you should do this, you should do that. It's
bought him his
records.
First Rolex.
Yeah, like and so Tupac doing that, you would have some sort of influence from somebody teaching
because
you.
Tupac made $80 million in record sales in one fucking year. Yeah. I was like, God damn, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So which one of you guys is going to buy me my first Rolex?
It depends. Probably
we
Brad.
Could probably find
I don't spend
Chicago.
Money like that. It'll be Brad.
Okay.
It's going to tick. It won't glide. It'll
no,
tick.
No, you can get a, I don't want get a glidey.
Yeah,
you
I, don't want glidey one. I don't want to fucking swap meet Romex. Yeah. I want to.
A Romex? Do you know what Romex is?
No.
That's electrical wire.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, some 14.2 Romex.
Now you get the Rolex.
Yeah. The I saw, you know, those like react videos, like the teens, there's like a specific
teens
reaction.
Video? Did you say teens video?
Teens react. And they take things from like the 80s or the 90s and they play into
like
modern
what's a VCR?
Teenagers.
Like, what
and
is
they,
this thing?
And then they react to it. And there was one that I saw on Biggie and it was pretty telling because half of the kids in the video, and they ranged from maybe 16 to 18, and it looked like a really recent video.
And they've heard of it.
Well,
before.
Half of them, like every time a song would come on, they would be like, "Oh, this is the jam." Like, I didn't know that was Biggie.
Or my God.
And they knew the words.
But they knew it was Biggie. And the sad thing was a lot of them were like, "Oh, my mom listens to this all the time." And I'm like, fuck, I'm getting old. But like this one, like totally nondescript white kid, every single one they showed, he knew every fucking line. Yeah. Like he was just flowing with it. But then the other half who honestly had never heard it before and were, you could just see him watching this for the first time. And one by one, every single one of them was like, "This is really good music. This is amazing." And even one guy was like, "Liz, like I don't even know who this was, but man, his flow, like look at him. Like he never even pauses for breath. Like this guy's unbelievable. I didn't know Biggie Smalls was that good." And like everybody was just tripping on watching these videos.
Because you got Biggie lungs.
Yeah.
Has to.
Yeah.
to feed that
just
blood
a life raft inside of himself. starts rapping.
To. Yeah. The oxygen, all
he
that.
Just got little CO2 cartridges.
He didn't do that. He didn't do that song in one take. He did it in one breath.
Yeah.
Like, he took a Biggie breath.
Yeah.
He starts working with music on his album, and this in 93, he really starts to hang out apparently quite a bit with Tupac. They start hanging out. One guy, Ben Westhoff, who wrote a book called Original Gangsters, it's about rap and so forth. And he talks about like how much they would party together, Tupac and Biggie.
They were buddies, man. Yeah.
Biggie, basically, according to this guy, Biggie asked him to produce his album. he said, well, you produced my first album, and he wanted to like leave Puffy because Tupac had just blown up.
Right.
Like, Tupac was like just like exploding. And Tupac, according to Westhoff, said, no, you need to stick with Puffy. He's going to make you a star. Like Tupac, and he did. Yeah. He was like, this guy knows what he's doing. Like, you don't want to go and,
you know, what's cool about Puffy is he doesn't play an instrument. You know what I mean? He didn't know how to work that equipment and shit. I saw an interview with him and he was just like,
fumbling around the studio.
No, he's like, I know what I want though. And so he has, you know, engineers and musicians, and he's like, just would hum it to them and then they would play it. Mm-hmm. And he'd be like, well, I want it to do this. And the engineer's like, yeah, just like this. And he's like, yep. You know, he didn't have the musical background himself really at all. He just surrounded himself with people who could
do it. And he's a genius
good music.
In marketing. Yeah. He's a genius in marketing.
Yeah, really.
Not in rap, but a genius in marketing.
Yeah. And I in early bands when I was young, cause I didn't play guitar. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I can fumble around a guitar now, but like, as far as like really good players, I would be like, hey, this, can you do this? Yeah. And then they'd be like, you know, whatever it was.
Right.
And you're like, yeah, that, or except hit this note.
Right.
You know, and they could pick it out. But you know what you want to hear. You know what I mean? When you're musically inclined, you can just, I worked on some beats with one of my buddies, and he was just like, yeah, do this. And he would just kind of like, do the drums for me.
Right.
And I'd be like, okay, you want them like that? You like this kick? Yeah. Boom. And he couldn't actually build the beat, but he had it in his head.
Right.
You know what I mean? So he knew what he wanted to rap over the, cause the beat gives you the flow. You know what I mean? So you keep that, that's why artists, stick with same style of beats, in most cases, because they have that particular flow that goes with that beat.
Right. Right.
So, so you're able to understand what you want. You might just not be able to get it out there, you know, which I'm sure you've heard stuff in your head and you're like,
I'm just not quite good enough at guitar to do some of the things. I'll get like this really cool song, you know, and then I'm like, I just want it to go there next.
And
I'm like,
I have no idea
where that's at.
Yeah.
But dude, I need to just spend like 3 months and learn like the fucking fretboard. I just don't know. I don't read music.
Yeah.
Everything's from ear and I just play whatever I play. But I bet if I sat down and mathematically like figured it out, I bet it would open
you could
some doors for me.
You would go, oh, I want it to go there. And this leads there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That you would know. Works. Yeah.
And I saw a weird video that was the producer for the last Childish Gambino album.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like this fucking super tall, skinny Swede who looks like he has absolutely no musical abilities whatsoever.
Yeah. That guy's an alien, just
but,
so you know.
Yeah, I think he is.
Every time you see him, there's just a white light behind him.
Right, yeah.
Like,
but he was talking
really
about,
controlling about his EQ. And
Well, no.
Did he have golden locks?
He did have golden locks. But he was like, yeah. And then he came in and he was like, you know, I kind of want to slap bass with like this idea. And then he like in the video, he picks up his bass and he was like this. And he just lays down this fucking ridiculous bass.
Right.
And then he's like, and I kind of want to beat like this. And he was like, so then we added this. And then I realized that like if every 10 or 15 seconds, like this little chime happened, it'd be and like just all this
entire skit
and I'm just
in my
like,
head right
holy fuck. But you're looking at this guy and I'm like, this fucking Swede is a genius.
Yeah.
Like this guy, it's why the album is as good as it is because this guy is a dope fucking producer and engineer.
Yeah, rarely you have people who can do both.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like myself, like I can rap and I can make beats, but I'm not like, it's more mediocre. You know what I mean? Like it's decent, but it's not the best, you know?
Right.
So you have people who can either are just excel at making beats, but they can't rap or they can't sing or they can't, you know what I mean? But they know what they want on that beat. You know, like I can make a beat and be like, this needs to go on here.
Right.
I need this in this section.
And that's why Dre is so dope because he can do both.
Yeah.
Which is rare.
But his rapping is mediocre. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying he's not bad.
No, you're right. He's not one
he's
of the,
not,
he's not
He's not
class.
Notorious B.I.G.
No.
rapping. You know, he's not some of, he's not Eminem.
No, he's not.
You know what I mean? Like, he can rap, he's clean, he can stay with the beat, but there's a difference between world class and good.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I'm getting at is, you know, people who make, he's better at, his beats are world class.
Absolutely.
His rapping is good.
Right.
You know, or you have the rapping is world class, but they don't make beats.
But they can't, like,
yeah, they can't
like
play a fucking instrument.
Unbelievable, but his, he needs
you can't play a fucking instrument. And he can't read, you know? So, I mean, like, there's a cost.
Yep.
So
he's mediocre.
He's mediocre.
He's mediocre.
Exactly.
That's what Dave has for dinner.
Yeah.
Meaty. No.
That's a microwave vegan meal.
He has meanie okra.
That's right.
Not meaty okra, because they can't eat meat. So it's like okra that's made to be like meat.
It's got
synthesized vegetable
protein.
Soy?
The funny thing is I just bought
a bunch of
three
okra.
Frozen 1-pound bags of okra at the grocery store.
Mediocre.
I'm having a memory problem too. I'm getting bad, dude. Something's happening. I can't remember things.
I think the government's slowly poisoning us.
I don't know, but I'm like literally, no, I'm having like a problem. Like I'm getting scared. Like I'm not like forgetful. Like there's a difference between forgetful and not remembering. Like I literally can't think of shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I'm like, I know the word. It's there. So I don't know what it fucking is though.
You got MK Ultra.
I have no idea.
Dude, I'll tell you, it's fucking scary though. I have it a lot. It's on the tip. Everything is on the tip of your tongue. It's just out of your fucking reach in your head.
I can say it in my head, but it's like a different language or something. Like I know the word. And the other thing is too, like, or information.
Right.
Like I know it and I can't, there's no way for me to project it out loud. It doesn't happen. And it's the fucking weirdest thing. Like, I'll feel like...
I want you to carry a dry erase board and start drawing
pictures. I don't know. Have you ever felt like...
He just draws Napoleon.
Like, no, it's like, have you ever felt like the smartest person, or not necessarily the smartest person, but a very well-educated person,
mm-hmm.
and fucking slowly going retarded all at the same time?
That's my life, dude. I swear to God. Know. I feel like
I'm
that
telling you,
day,
dude. I don't know if it's just the information overload or what, but yeah, it's getting bad. Mm-hmm. It is.
There's
not only
so much room on the hard drive.
I guess.
It's literally, if I would know the answer if you hadn't asked me. That thing, like when someone's like, oh, if you hadn't asked me, I would have totally said it. But it's every fucking day and it's slowly getting worse. It's a scary thing. It's like dementia setting in. Is. Yeah.
So getting back on topic, the Roman Empire.
No.
Was
you're wrong.
What?
You could have rolled with that. I'd have been like, they assassinated him. Yes. Yeah.
I was actually thinking that.
2 million gallons of water.
Well, no, because I was watching the Roman stuff and I was like, okay, that guy's name. Okay, I got that. That's that guy's name. Okay, that's who ruled then. And after I got done, I'm like, I remember the information. I have no fucking clue of anybody's name.
I have trouble while we're talking. If it's like from a general same time period dates, for both the topics, because we studied them both, I'll be like, yeah, because he didn't go to that school. That's the other, that's the other one. That's the other professor or whatever. Yeah.
Right, that's what he meant. Bonnie and Clyde. Yeah, fuck, like, nope. No, he didn't.
Bonnie and Astroglide.
That's right.
Infostew. That's what I'm calling it.
So right about this time is when Biggie ended up, like, he's right on the verge of breaking out, and this is when he starts going back to selling drugs, and Puffy has to, like, basically give him money and put him back on track because he has to.
Puffy's investment.
Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah.
Puffy's not getting big.
Puffy's launching his label with Biggie.
Yeah.
Like he's put all his eggs in that one basket. The album comes out, his first album, and it's certified gold within 2 months, double platinum within a year. It eventually reaches quadruple platinum, so it fucking blows up. Like he blows
Tupac
up.
Was right. Tupac was a fucking
He was right.
He was a foreseer.
Yeah, exactly. He gets nominated for best rap solo performance, and it really starts to, because up until this point, like in the 90s, rap was West Coast.
Yeah.
Like in early 90s, it was Dr. Dre, it was NWA, it was Suge Knight, it was fucking Snoop, it was Cube.
They created the gangster era.
Yeah. And they just dominated rap globally because of that. But this, when Biggie's album drops, it really starts to make the East Coast stand out again.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, not to talk shit about Puffy. I mean, he has legit albums. He's a decent rapper himself. Like, he's got good stuff, but he produces a lot of dope stuff coming out of the Bad Boy stable. And then we start to see the feud between East and West. He gets married, Biggie does, to
Faith Evans,
the R&B singer, 8 days after they met.
Yeah. I saw the interview. She tells the story. They were just like hanging out and she was looking at pictures. He said, "Hey, can I see your pictures?" And all his buddies were like, "How the fuck?" Like I guess he had super game. Like he was crazy charming. Because they're like, "You look at that guy, you're not thinking he's getting the ladies, but he could just fucking smooth talk." And they said it was like this weird father figure comfort thing. Faith Evans was like, "It was weird. He came and said, 'Can I see your pictures?' I was laughing till I was crying for the whole time we talked. Then he talked me into giving him a ride home or something. And then the whole ride home, they just fucking hit it off. And then like 8 days later, something's like, 'We should just get married.' And she's like, 'I don't think he's kidding.' She was like, 'Are you serious?' And he's like, 'Yeah.' And then they fucking did.
Yeah.
Is my horse dick kidding? Right.
Yeah.
No. You liked it.
Even with his pubic mound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. The horse dick with the pubic mound.
With the pubic mound.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Fucking impressive.
You didn't have to push it back. No. Had he pushed it back. If he was a skinny man, Faith would have been in trouble.
Yeah.
So I think there was a surprise in there. Once the mound hit and then he pushed further.
She was like, oh, damn.
Wait a minute. That's it? Whoa.
There's more than one shooter on the grass.
Wow.
What was that?
A Chuckles the Clown.
Chuckles the Clown.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So his first single from Ready to Die, or his fourth single at about this time, reaches number 2 on the Billboard Top 100 chart. And he's just like, this is it. Like he is the biggie that everybody knows and loves. They have a child, together in 1996. But as we're getting up to that, the beef starts to brew. Right. So I don't even know what it was exactly that made the rift happen between Tupac and Biggie.
Well, Tupac got shot at that studio. So like Biggie was recording in a studio,
but there was already a beef before that though.
I don't know. I think from what I saw was like, it was their reactions and the coincidental like thing that it went down. I don't remember why there would be that, but mainly it was that they were recording whatever that studio was. Tupac was coming across the street and these dudes were smoking weed on the balcony because everyone was in Biggie's studio and the engineer was like, hey, it's full of smoke in here. They're smoking so much weed that he was getting a contact high. He's like, you guys got to go out. So Biggie told him, hey, there's a balcony. And they went out to the balcony to smoke and they're like, oh shit, it's Tupac. And then they ran and like, hey, no, they said, hey, Tupac's over here. He's like headed this way. They're like, oh shit, let's go down and say, what's up. And so they jumped in the elevator to go down. And by the time they got down, there was like blood and bandana and police and all kinds of crazy shit. And he had been shot and, he came out on a stretcher or something, I guess. And he just flipped him off. Like he felt like he got set up or something. Cause I think they said, hey, come over. Like maybe they called him over. They didn't call him over though. No, he was going to another studio in the building, just coincidentally on a different purpose. He wasn't even there for Biggie. It was just supposedly, allegedly. But when he got shot, they all just stood there and they didn't like, oh shit, what happened or anything. Like, I guess their reaction was really weird to what went down. And they said they were just couldn't believe that it happened. And then then later, like Tupac goes to jail or something. And then like Biggie doesn't call him, doesn't write him a letter, doesn't go visit him.
So the beef
him,
just starts anything. With getting
it
shot.
It started with that because there was like allegations of him getting shot, of him having something to do with the shooting.
Well, you know, at the end of one of Tupac's famous songs, Beef with Biggie, that's why I fucked your bitch, you fat, motherfucker, you know? Right. So,
well, that came from it though, because then what happens is,
well, I know, but that could have happened prior.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like anything could have happened.
Because then Biggie has trouble staying faithful and starts hooking up with a bunch of chicks. Yeah. And
maybe she was unfaithful first.
She was cool. Like Marley though. It was like Marley's wife where she was just like, hey, it's Bob Marley. What are you going to do? He's going to bang bitches. And Faith Evans was the same way. She was like, you know, I can't be married to someone that's going to do that. But at the same time, I realized that's just part of his persona. It's part of his personality. He's going to do that. But it's just not going to work. So we couldn't stay married. I loved him. So she splits up or whatever, but they're still married. And then she went into a club and Tupac was there.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know what went down, but there's like pictures of them together.
Yeah. I think
she looks like, she looks really like drugged up or something in the pictures. Yeah. It doesn't look
roofied
her. It doesn't look good, to be honest. She looks it looks like they probably hung out. I feel like they did hang out, but I don't know.
You know, I mean, who knows? There was probably a bunch of tension. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and the struggle.
He asked her to be on a record and then she went and did it.
She hung out with him. Like she admitted in an interview in 2014 that they were friends and they were hanging out quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But she says,
hanging out long dick style.
Tupac hit on me, but she said, quote, but that ain't how I do business.
Oh. Right.
So, but I mean, she acknowledges that they were close and that they were hanging out and everything.
See,
so
who fucking knows? What all these Hollywood people need to learn from Faith Evans. Somebody tries to fuck you, just tell them no and walk
out. Just say, that ain't how I do business.
Yeah, it's not how I do business.
That's
instead
right.
of doing it and then complaining about it later.
So then after Tupac gets shot, Biggie releases the single,
Life After Death, or
Who Shot Ya?
Oh, Who Shot Ya? That's right.
He was just asking. Yeah, that's a good friend. He was just asking the question. Who shot ya? I want to know.
But then, and we talked about this particular song on our Tupac episode. If you haven't listened to it, go back and listen to it. But
I lived in it. I don't know. Why don't you tell me what happened?
The song Hit 'Em Up. The end of Hit 'Em Up is like one of the most brilliant, like 60-second insults.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Tupac just goes off on everybody involved in the East Coast, and it's pretty amazing and funny. And that's the same song where he says he...
There was like really bad interview with Tupac and Suge Knight. They're like standing on a dock by a boat and they're interviewing
WWF wrestlers.
Yeah. And they're just, he's like, Suge's like, hey man, how come you guys, what took so long in the studio? Like setting up the question. He's like, you and Faith were in there for like 10 hours, you know? And he's just like, it was obviously set up to say,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, this is going
on. They were fueling the fire.
And, yeah, and then he just kept like insinuating and, oh, shout out to Faith, and just kept saying it and saying it. And then they posted all those pictures of them together and she's on the album. I don't know, man. But, and then Biggie didn't retaliate though, right? He didn't ever say anything in a song. He never actually had any type of shit talk in any of his songs to say something back. But he did flip out and go to like Faith's hotel and shit. Because obviously, he's like, why are you hanging out with Why would you do that to me? Like, why are you hanging out with Tupac? Why would you do all this shit when you know we have this beef and then be public about it? Yeah. Go on his record. They were still married at the time, too. Yeah. So.
Right. Well, but meanwhile, I mean, so he starts the group Junior Mafia in 95, which is a...
It always makes me think of Junior Mints. Yeah. Like, it's not very hardcore.
No, it's not. And then you realize that
bunch
mafia,
of little Italians with hats
mafia is an acronym for something that's not hardcore either.
What is it?
Mafia stands for Masters at Finding Intelligent Attitudes.
That's weak.
They were searching.
NWA is a much better name.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
That's the long version of NWA.
Masters at Finding Intelligent
That's
Attitudes.
Why it's better. The rappers are better when they're straight street. Exactly. He was like educated street.
Exactly.
Yeah, see, Puffy Masters. Had something to do with that name.
Yeah, I think like, so too.
My intelligent rappers.
But they were trying to get young rappers. Like a lot of them were teenagers.
It was all of his friends from the street. It was all those dudes that he drank 40s with and battle rapped. And they were like, watching an interview with one of the guys. And he was like, yeah, it didn't matter if you actually could rhyme or not. He's like, he promised everyone, if I ever make it, he's like, I will give you a chance to make it. And so he brought all those dudes.
Well, Junior Mafia was specifically like a way to get young rappers in. So
is that not when he had all his friends?
Well, I think he was already signing with all of his friends, but the stuff that I read about Junior Mafia was hence the Junior. Yeah. It was specifically
it was like Little
for young
Kim
rappers.
And all them.
Little Kim and all.
So that was part of his crew too, though. That was the same thing.
No, they were still part of the crew, but they were really, really young.
Right.
And again, I think it was, I mean, it smacks a P. Diddy. It's like, let's get a bunch of really fucking young rappers together. We'll make the rap version of a boy band over. And then they're all going to break off and do, you know, singles. But yeah, Lil' Kim, who's super fucking young, he starts having an affair with her in the middle of
allegedly.
It. So I don't know how
she likes
mad,
taking the D.
Yeah, how mad you can get at, you know, your wife for shagging Tupac when you're kicking it with Lil' Kim. But, so, and at this point, and I was kind of tripping on this, I did not know this, and I went and listened to the song. He releases this, he shows up on a single called This Time Around on Michael Jackson's album.
No shit.
In 95. And I'm like, okay.
Is that the We Are the World fucking one? The Children of the World album?
That's
a shitty Michael Jackson
album?
That's
89 or something.
It's a pretty bad album. It was a bad.
It was like black and white.
It was a bad album. No, I think it was post black and white. Maybe, but
it was post black and white. It was just white,
right?
Like,
but I'm listening to it, and I'm listening to the song, and there's Michael. It's not a bad song, whatever. But then all of a sudden, like Biggie starts, and I'm like, okay, so this is gonna be some like weak ass Michael Jackson version of Biggie. No. He's like, and that's when I hit him in the dome with a fucking bullet and his gut spilled out on the floor. You don't fuck with a nigga like Biggie. And I'm like, this is a fucking Michael Jackson song. I was tripping on
it. He had to put that Thriller disclaimer in the beginning. So his mom didn't get mad.
He's like, no.
I don't agree with what Biggie said, but... He's got good rhymes.
But the other thing that was funny is a bunch.
Did you just do Mike Tyson?
I don't know.
He did Cicely Jackson. Yeah.
Who is it?
Cicely Jackson.
Who's Cicely Jackson?
Isn't that his mom's name?
Oh, it's Unbreakable. Sure. Unbreakable. Unbreakable lyrics. Unbreakable.
Unbreakable.
Unbreakable is the song. Yeah.
No, the song is This Time Around. I think the album is Unbreakable.
Oh, maybe. Is it?
But anyway, a lot of the people from Junior Mafia were like, oh shit, Biggie, you have to introduce me to Michael Jackson. And he was like,
because
nope.
They're young kids.
He was like, nope, because they're young kids. He told
they
them
kids, though. They were like
one of them. This what was his name? This cat like, named Little Cease. was only 16.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, I'm not introducing you to Michael Jackson because you're a kid and that's Michael Jackson.
You know what I thought about? Because like I've run into a lot of people who make a lot of music claims and say a lot of crazy shit. But that young C-Sky or whatever, like you see him, they're talking to him on the street. And that's what you would think if he told you that he hung out with Biggie and did all this shit. You'd be like, yeah, 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 right. Fucking sure. But all those dudes, there's a bunch of those dudes that aren't really anyone. They mess around with music and shit, but they never made it. They're not in the industry, but they hung out with them.
Well, that's just like the Wu-Tang Clan. There's fucking 9,000 of them.
Right.
There's only about a handful of them.
That are like super.
You know, yeah. ODB, who's dead. You have Ghostface Killah.
Mm-hmm.
You have GZA, RZA. You have Method Man, Redman.
Right.
Kind of, those are your kind of, you know, main ones, and then there's like 5,000 other ones that you don't know, and they'll feature here or there on a track, you know.
I'm gonna say, I mean, the same thing was happening on the West Coast. I mean, Ice Cube started the West Side Connection, which I thought was fucking dope, but most people don't know who was in it. Like, these guys never blew up on any sort of a single, but it's a whole lot of featuring so and so,
right?
But and they all got fucking paid, like every one of them got paid a lot for being featuring on a fucking, you know, top album.
Well, it's one, you know, one family member blows up. I mean, Dre and Snoop did the same thing, you know, they had cousins and fucking uncles and grandkids and shit show up on albums, you know?
Right.
So, you know, it's just that's kind of the life, you know what I mean? Like people, like you listen to music now and a lot of them say, you know, I'm doing this for my hood. You know what I mean? I'm doing this for my people, and they try and bring everybody up with them, you know, which is
weird.
Kind
of cut the fats. Like when you win the lotto, all your cousins come out of the fucking network. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, and they showed the studio like packed, like shoulder to shoulder. Oh, they were fucking everybody had their friends and their crew and they brought
that
their
shit
buddy.
Would get annoying.
That's what I was thinking. I was would I want all
out.
Those fucking people?
That. Out.
Yeah.
Fucking go get some fish head soup or something.
I don't want anyone in here. You know what I mean?
Right.
Fucking,
right.
Yeah. We're different type of people though. You know, when you want that hype though, you know what I mean? Like you have a crowd, you have hype, you know, like, so, you know, who knows, you know?
So by the end of 95, Biggie was the best-selling solo male artist on the Billboard charts. He even beat out Michael Jackson, who he did songs with on the Billboard charts. Not only in hip hop, but in R&B. So he was just fucking exploding. But then that was the Mo Money part. Then the Mo Problems come up, starting right after that. So in 96, he gets arrested after chasing down autograph hunters with a baseball bat in Manhattan and threatening to kill him.
Damn.
And he gets 100 hours of community service.
And 94 to 96 was the absolute heyday of gangster rap.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, if you listen to any album, any legit album, I'm gonna put that in there from 94 to 96, fucking amazing music.
Amazing shit. Just so, amazing. So good. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's when Snoop was born. That's when Ice Cube was stepping out on his own. That's when, I mean, it was just unbelievable.
Master P came out of the woodwork. Yep. You know what I mean? Like fucking Mystical, you know, just fucking Busta Rhymes, you know, like all these fucking crazy.
So
there's so much memorable music from those couple years. It's insane.
Yep.
Brent knows nothing about it.
No, he doesn't.
No, I was thinking about how decades just begat that type of thing. You know, you have like your era where there's Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd and all these people. Yeah. You know what I mean? You have like 80s hair bands and you end up, you know, you end up with like Slayer, Megadeth,
and I think
Metallica.
Mid '90s was the rap heyday.
That's
you know what I mean?
Saying.
Like
that was the era. That was that era.
Right. Even though you had, you know, '80s, you had Run DMC, you had Beastie Boys, you had all that shit.
Good stuff.
The mid '90s was just fucking hip hop. You know,
like mid '90s was when
fucking
Public Enemies was really big.
Nas, Wu-Tang, fucking everybody was out in the mid '90s.
Yep.
Fucking awesome.
So the same summer
goosebumps.
In
yeah, fucking amazing.
So good.
Another bad creation.
What?
Aisha.
TLC.
Yeah.
Vanilla
Don't
Ice.
Go chasing waterfalls.
Like all of it.
Yeah. No.
So that same summer, Biggie was a,
you know, Aisha. Don't act like you
don't go
Aisha.
Chasing waterfalls, homie.
He was charged with beating and robbing, friend of a concert promoter at a New Jersey nightclub. He was arrested for smoking weed in his car in Brooklyn. So he starts to run into some legal problems in there, but the legal problems don't really matter as much. In 96, September 7th, Tupac, it's a date that will live in infamy. Tupac is shot and killed in Las Vegas. We go over all the details in the Tupac episode. But at that point, it's sort of the peak of the East Coast, West Coast war. It's been them beefing on each other for a while.
You know, now we kind of know it wasn't anybody from Bad Boy Camp that shot Tupac.
Right.
You know, pretty much. I mean, we don't know for sure, but I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Well, a lot of them said, too, is you end up with like the side players. You know what I mean? Yeah. People that are like... Yeah. They claim that side of the camp or whatever, but they think they're doing you a favor because they're like, oh, nobody's got the fucking guts to do this shit. I'm going to do it.
Or you like, fuck maybe, somebody over on your own side and they're just like, fuck it. These guys, fuck it. They're going to blame him. You know? You piss somebody off, you piss somebody off.
So after Tupac died, in an interview, Biggie said, it's a funny thing. I kind of realized how powerful Tupac and I was. We two individual people, we waged a coastal beef. You know what I'm saying? One man against one man made the whole West Coast hate the whole East Coast and vice versa. And that really bugged me out. Like, yo, this whole coast don't like me. I don't like him. So my whole coast don't like him. And let me know how much strength I have. And then he basically said that what he wants to do is flip it because Tupac just died because of this. And he realizes like we had so much influence that neither of us realized.
Right.
And he's saying it's too late for Pac, but he says he wants to squash the beef.
Please don't shoot me.
Right. AKA, please don't shoot me. But
it
then.
It didn't seem like he was that. Well, I mean, he on one interview, he said there were some times where he was scared he was going to get killed and would wake up like in a panic and shit. Mm-hmm. But man, he takes off to fucking California.
Well, here's the thing though, from what I read about, like one of the main reasons that he went to California, he and Puffy both went to California when he died was because Suge Knight was in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And since Suge Knight was in jail, everybody from the East Coast had this sense of weakness.
Pass.
And they were like, we can do whatever the fuck we want in LA because Suge Knight's in jail. And that was not the case. So
just tell their brother, sister's cousin, exactly. some honey buns in the commissary. Yeah.
He had Suge daytime. Yeah. He was over there.
Right. Yeah. So on March 9th, 1997, he and Puffy end up going to a Vibe, like the magazine Vibe. They end up going to a party at the Peterson Automotive Museum in Los Angeles. And it was supposed to, it was a party for music industry executives, and they were told security's really high. It's not a gangster scene. No one's going to be in there. Like it's
until
a high end
gangsters
affair,
get
until
inside.
Gangsters get inside
and they infiltrate.
But apparently, Puffy in an interview years later said that he and Biggie were actually supposed to be flying to Paris on that day. But at the last minute, Biggie said, no, I want to go to this party that Vibe's holding because Suge's in jail. And I think that'd be a dope thing to do.
Right.
So like they were supposed to not even be in LA, but Biggie like pushed for it. So
I wonder if that conversation really went down like that. He was like, probably like, fuck that motherfucker. We're going to show
exactly.
up. Fuck him.
Exactly.
Show him. We're going to show up on his turf.
On his turf. His ass is in jail.
Yeah. And I think, I think that conversation went down a bit differently.
Yeah. Yeah. So this gets weird. Like I didn't know any of this shit about his investigation. Did you guys see much about the investigation into his death?
That not much happened. Well, there was supposed to be like some like police involved, possibly like police officers.
Oh, yes, indeed.
And there's like a couple guys that speak out. And I was like, man, I'm out of time for studying this, but I probably would still go look into it.
I looked into it. So here's the breakdown. It's pretty fucking crazy. I'll post a link in the show notes because there's an article in Rolling Stone that I think came out 6 years after his death or something like that. And it's really fucking in depth. I mean, it is a long ass article and it breaks down this whole fucking thing. And it is a trip.
Yeah.
Dude.
It's fucking what's his name's ex-girlfriend or something.
Suge Knight's. Yeah.
Yeah. Suge Knight's ex-girlfriend had some shit going down that fucking Puggles. What's the guy's name?
Puggles. Yeah.
Something funny like that. Well, it's not Puggles.
Here's the breakdown. There's way too much detail to try. I mean, you could do a whole fucking show just on this, but so in the crowd was Faith Evans, who at this point couldn't stand Biggie anymore.
Yeah.
And pretty much, I think, had moved to the West Coast by this point. I might be wrong on that one.
It seemed
DJ
like they were
Quick,
still on good terms, though, like the way she talked about him. I mean, he's passed, so maybe she's being nice, but.
So DJ Quick shows up and he was signed with Death Row at the time, which is Suge Knight's label, et cetera. And he brings 10 Treetop Peru Bloods with him.
Okay.
So
Treetop Peru Bloods.
It's a particular set, right? So he brings 10 bloods
from Treetop.
They drink apple juice.
They drink Treetop apple juice. Only in a red box. That's, they only drink red apples. Blue. Yeah. Yeah, don't fucking bring no green apples over here, motherfucker. This is
they have the Peru whole Treetop. Yeah. The gallons.
Peru bloods. We only drink red Peru apples.
Treetop Peru apples.
Yeah.
But
I
then
just picture
also
a bunch of little fucking little Peruvian guys like they're like medicine man stomping on grapes guys. You know, with the bowl haircut. And then they're holding Treetop apple juice gallons.
Ace Ventura's fighting them. Fucking there's one on his back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what the pygmies. Picture.
Yeah.
I suspect that's not what they looked like.
No.
Probably not.
But then a dozen or so Crips showed up, including Orlando Anderson, who was the person
were
that
these
at
Grape
the time.
Street, Grape Street Crips, and they were
I didn't
off
find
about
out
the apple juice.
Yeah, maybe.
We weren't talking shit for the record.
You only brung apple juice to this shit.
Grape Street showing up.
Grape Street.
But yeah, so they showed up with Orlando Anderson, who was investigated for being involved in shooting Tupac.
Right. Okay.
So they show up at the party. And then by midnight, the museum was so full and so many people were smoking weed that they basically had to come on and shut down the party because the fire marshal had been called to come and shut everything down because the air was so thick with smoke.
Oh, God. So, everybody's just fucking high as shit.
So the party breaks up at 12:30. They step out. They Puff and Biggie go out in two separate cars. They showed up in separate cars. They're leaving in separate cars, but they're both heading to the hotel together. And I guess their whole entourage was outside and all of them confirmed in the investigation that there was a discussion. Should we go to some after parties and should we go out? And Puffy was like, no, we got to leave early in the morning. Let's just go back to the hotel. And Biggie was like, okay, let's go to the hotel. So Puffy gets in his car with his security and his driver. Biggie gets in his car with his security and his driver and they take off. So they get a couple blocks up and a white Toyota Land Cruiser makes a U-turn. They get separated from a light. So a light changes and Puffy drives through it and Biggie gets stopped at the light. So a white Land Cruiser that's on the passenger side of Biggie's car does a U-turn through the intersection and blocks off the car on the driver's side. And then pulling up on the passenger side is a black sedan.
Or dark colored.
Because
allegedly it could have been like dark green.
Yeah. So it was an Impala.
Right.
Of course.
The new one, not the old cool one.
Right, though. Right,
right. A new ugly one.
Yeah. So inside, all the eyewitnesses said there was a black male in a blue suit with a bow tie. And basically his haircut, his bow tie, his suit all pointed towards probably being Nation of Islam. Louis Farrakhan, like that's the way they tended to dress. And everybody basically
sure
said,
it wasn't Mr. Bentley.
It could have been Mr. Bentley.
That's what I picture.
But basically everybody was like, the LAPD was writing it off as a gang shooting. And everybody there was like, this was not an LA gang member. Trust me. This is not.
Gang members don't wear a fucking bow tie.
And a fucking striped suit.
They drink apple juice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This was the real mafia, not the junior
mafia. Exactly. So he pulls out a pistol, empties the clip into Biggie's door.
Magazine.
Sorry. Fuck.
Yes.
And takes off. And apparently when they take off, like the gunshots happen, Puffy tells his driver to stop and Puffy gets out of the car and runs back to Biggie's car. The two cars that were involved take off. Biggie or Puffy jumps in the car, tells Biggie's driver to drive and takes him to Cedars-Sinai Hospital, which is just a couple of minutes away from where they were shot.
Weird. I saw the images of the side of the car and some of the video that people had cell phone footage, but the holes, it was like five or six shots that were holes inside of the car. But it said he got hit four times in the chest. And I'm like, from the side, he's a heavy dude. Maybe they mean like under his armpit into his chest.
Yeah, probably. Maybe. Yeah, it had to be.
And
from
they still
the
call
side.
It chest.
Yeah.
They'd still call it chest.
I guess if you were right turning to look chest. At him, your chest would somewhat be facing him.
I mean, this is still
he probably
your
has
chest.
Arm up on the
side
on
chest.
The window.
Yeah.
And,
So it takes off. They
should
get there.
Side boob.
They should have said side boob. He gets pronounced dead. They rush him in. They start doing surgery. The party ended at 12:30. They got kicked out. And by 1:15,
those dudes
he's pronounced
had to carry
dead.
Him to the stretcher.
It said that it took six guys to get him on a stretcher and to get him into the hospital.
Pallbearers before pallbearers were needed.
Yeah. So, but again, the death certificate said 385. That's going to take a couple guys to move you. So here's the investigation part. And this is, again, I uncovered this right at the end of research. And I was like, I guess I need to do more research and keep going, because it gets pretty fucking crazy. So the after his death, some people from LA's robbery homicide showed up, and like on the night of the shooting, and then basically robbery homicide had nothing to do with the case for like a month, which made no sense. And every detective that they interviewed later was like, yeah, it was really weird. I have no idea why that happened. Like, it was pawned off on these rookie guys that weren't even in robbery homicide, that high profile of a person shot in the middle. But it was like, it was just kind of sent to go nowhere.
Yeah.
And, so eventually these two
could have been, maybe they knew what was up and they didn't want a gang war on their hands too, though.
No, I don't think so, man. No? It's fucking dirty cop shit.
I saw a detective that said every time he presented a lead, he had all kinds of evidence saying that it was fucking Poochie or Pokemon or whatever this guy's name is.
Like Mr. Puggles.
So Mr. Puggles. So they just gave it to two Wilshire detectives who weren't really specialized in homicide, whatever, and they do it, and they basically got no promising leads, did nothing in the course of a month. And finally, a bunch of backlash and stuff. So, and again, the LAPD has fucking solid descriptions from tons of eyewitnesses.
They should have got Mel Gibson on the case.
They have
Riggs would have figured that shit out.
Spent shell casings, tons of descriptions of the killers as a Muslim. And then everybody's just saying, oh, it was gang members. And they just wrote it off as a gang killing and did no investigation. So eventually this guy named Detective Poole, Russell Poole, ends up taking over the case with his partner, Fred Miller. And, they basically looked at the case right away and they said that it was more sophisticated than anything they'd seen gangbangers pull off. They said it was a professional hit.
Right.
And they started looking into it.
Tupac got four in the chest. Biggie got four in the chest.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It sounds like assassination. Yeah. Like,
so these two detectives, this whole fucking thing is so bizarre. And it's
I never thought about that.
Yeah. They both got four in the chest.
Yeah. I never really.
And like, once I started reading this, I was like, what the fuck? Like, and again, this is in Rolling Stone. I'll post the link, but this isn't in the Wikipedia. This isn't in any of the biographies. It's just like, and then he died and here's who attended his funeral. And that was it.
Right.
But it uncovered this whole fucking shit show case that became a big thing in LA. So these two people, Poole and Miller, 9 days after, basically they got Biggie's case assigned to him eventually, but first they got this other case assigned to him where they were investigating two people who shot each other, a black guy and a white guy shot each other in North Hollywood. And it turned out as they were investigating it that the white guy was an undercover LAPD cop named Frank Liga. Right. So they start investigating this and they're like, what the fuck? This guy was an undercover cop. So they start looking into it. And Liga drives around in like this custom Mitsubishi Montero, and it's not registered under his name. So they look to find out.
For the record.
They look to find out who it's registered under, and it's registered under Suge Knight's wife, Sharitha. Totally different fucking murder that has nothing to do with this murder.
Right.
So it is actually Snoop Dogg's manager at the time. So it's registered under her name, and this LAPD
is driving it.
Undercover cop is driving the car.
I didn't see this.
It's fucking crazy.
I saw
her
and I saw some of the allegations. Yeah.
So, and again, at this point, the cops start to uncover all these threads that are pointing towards the fact that there's this group of LAPD officers that are on payroll by death row to help them when they do drug deals, to help them when they're doing anything illegal, to give them legal advice, to give them protection.
And that's where Suge Knight's wife was the one who was supposedly with her like boyfriend or running mate shot Tupac.
Right.
So this is the same connection.
This all ties into it. But then what, so Poole starts to look into this, and the cops keep saying there's nothing to it. It was a fucking gang shooting. It had nothing to do with death row. And like, he kept saying it was so strange because every time he would go up the ladder, he would get shot down, and they would say, don't look into this. There's nothing to it. Don't look into this. There's nothing to it. And they kept digging and they kept looking. And he said they wouldn't have even made these connections if they didn't happen to have done this other murder case right before they were handed the Biggie Smalls murder case. But they just started seeing these bizarre connections. So they start to look into it, and one of the guys who shoots him down in the LAPD Pacific Division ends up, he's always like showing up wearing $1,000 Versace shirts. He owns a bunch of cars, Mercedes, all this different stuff.
And these are,
not even trying to fucking hide it. So
he's a cop.
Yeah. How's internal affairs?
This guy was a cop. And again, they're basically told by informants like that they considered reliable informants. This guy is part of Death Row's crew and he hangs out with them and they start to investigate it. And his superiors are like, don't investigate Gaines. This is a dead end. Just fucking drop it.
Oh, cause they're in it too. Yeah.
Right. So, then he gets an anonymous tip that Gaines was involved in the Biggie assassination. This other guy, there was a guy, in Corcoran State Prison, who said that his cellmate, a guy named Marcus Nunn, who was a mob Peru blood, said that Knight told him in jail that he hired people to take Biggie out. So, like, I mean, just all this fucking shit. And like these
Knight
cops,
was a shit talker too, though. Yeah, like, he would say shit just to make himself look
taking
big.
Credit. Right.
So that's what's hard to.
He was a big motherfucker, dude. Yeah. He played football and shit. Huh?
I had mentioned I seen him in LA.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fucking on Hollywood Boulevard at a club, out in front of a club. He's a
when
big
he walked up on the music
dude.
Awards, his shoulders are like fucking 5 foot across. Yeah. You're like, God damn, he looks like Wreck-It Ralph.
Fucking brick wall.
Right. Right. So they follow up one lead.
He's Wreck-It Jerome.
Yeah. They get this guy named David Mack, who was in jail for a $722,000 bank robbery. Nice. And they ended up making a connection between him and the Biggie assassination. And they go to his house to look into it. Apparently his garage was just like, they described it as a shrine to Tupac.
Oh.
And they said it was just like posters and like albums and like autographs and all this shit from Tupac.
Yeah, but you could be a fanatic. That doesn't mean you killed anyone.
But it was also the same exact car in the garage described.
The Impala.
Yeah. And then they go back to LAPD forensics and they're like, we want to do an in-depth look at this car.
His closet's full of bow ties.
And guess what they're told?
No,
you can't do that. Like, even though you have a
what
fucking
forensics
strong
do
informant.
90% chance this is the car.
Exactly. And
but
they were like,
what good would that
no.
do doing forensics on that car? Like, to see if there's like gunpowder
who
on the window?
Who fucking knows? Yeah, there might still be gunpowder around.
Be
there might still be a fucking shell casing.
You never know.
You never know.
Yeah.
There could be fucking trace amounts of blood.
If the shooter shot out the window of a car, the forensics should be done on the car.
Right. That's true. Those motherfuckers are ninjas.
Yep.
You can't get away with anything.
So another informant tells the LA County that the LA County Sheriff's Department said was a quote ultra reliable informant. He had already solved two unsolved homicide cases for money for the LAPD, and he was basically considered one of their number one street informants for any murder they ran into. They always go to this guy, and this guy says that the killer in the Biggie Smalls case, from everything he was hearing on the street, was a member of Louis Farrakhan's security squad, and that he was hired to do it. And the guy that did that and claimed that ends up being shot and killed.
Wow. So that is from the Bowtie Gang. What was the name of the Bowtie guys you said?
They called it the Fruits of Islam, but it was
and the grape street and the fucking treetop. I know we injected apple juice on that shit.
But it's true. Hmm. But the Fruits of Islam.
And where does Peru come into the play? Like, why Peru?
It's just a particular, couple of sets of the
I know, but why, I wonder why they picked
Peru. It's the street, Peru Street.
Oh, Peru Street. Yeah, not actually
anything. No, not anything to do with Peru. But yeah, so this informant tells him
I'm going to start the Machu Picchu Cribs.
This informant tells him this. The informant ends up dead. Guess what the LAPD tells him?
Don't look into it.
Don't look into it. Yeah. Like, what the fuck, dude? The whole investigation is just this clusterfuck of the LAPD constantly saying, don't look into it. Don't look into it. Don't look into it.
Well, like, you know, I mean, I don't know what episode it was. We did something about Florida. And it was like 80% of the Miami police force or something had to be fucking replaced after internal affairs looked into it.
Right.
Like, they had to, like, the entire graduating class from like 1982 or something got fucking like arrested for doing something with cocaine in Miami or something. Right. What episode did we do that on?
I can't remember. Yeah, it must have been, was it the CIA drug episode?
Oh, it might have been that, yeah. But it was like the entire graduating class in Miami or something got busted by internal affairs.
Yeah.
So it happens.
And again, this is the fucking Rodney King days. This is the era where everyone said the LAPD was the most corrupt police force in the nation.
Just like I said, it's the height of the gangster.
Exactly. You know what I mean? So this article and this investigator personally believes that Suge Knight had a stable of cops who worked for him and covered shit up for Death Row Records. And they think that Suge Knight, this article doesn't think that Suge Knight, that those cops killed him. They think that Suge Knight hired a Nation of Islam assassin to kill him, but that
paid the cops to leave it alone.
But that Death Row's paid off cops were trying to bury it, hindering
the investigation.
And someone above the investigation was constantly shooting down every lead, not letting him spend resources on investigating it, which is ultimately why at the end of the day, the LAPD said it was a gang killing. We don't know who did
it. Straight out of an episode of Sons of Anarchy.
It's fucking crazy, dude. It's just crazy corruption at a deep level.
And you got to think too, it's a lot of it's about money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I think Suge Knight could have possibly had Tupac killed because Tupac was getting bigger than Suge Knight.
Right.
You know what I mean?
What's crazy is someone posted the other day and it makes you think that, and I don't know if this is real, but it said like a CIA agent admitted on his deathbed that he assassinated Bob Marley. Did you guys see anything about that? And I don't know, fucking toe cancer dart or something crazy. But the thing is, he said that throughout those years, he did tons of political assassinations for like powerful black men. Think about any time a black guy gets powerful or influential, you know what I mean? Other than Obama. But before that, you know, Martin Luther King, Bob Marley, Tupac, like Biggie Smalls, like anyone that has any kind of a following
influence
over culture like that, the fucking something happens.
And Biggie even said himself, he didn't realize, or Tupac didn't realize how much of an influence they had.
Right.
So something had to be done about it because there was a war waging.
Right. And I think that's the thing. Like if you're,
we caused six people to buy Dr. Brunner's soap.
That's right. Yeah. But the thing, if you're a rapper and you got a beef with this guy who lives on the other coast, I don't know that your head is going to necessarily realize the impact you're having. Well, I don't think you're going to realize how many people.
If some no-name rapper has a beef with another no-name rapper, it doesn't matter. But when you're
Biggie and Tupac,
sextuplet platinum,
right?
You know what I mean? Right. Like
sextuplet platinum.
You know, diamond, whatever.
Dodecahedron.
You know. Yeah. Yeah. You're fucking, you know, I love this guy. I fucking hate that guy. Right. You know, like you're not listening to their shit just because somebody said not to, you know, when you're wrapped up in a band, we talked about the Juggalos and stuff, you know, if people are hating on ICP or fucking whoever, those people are going to fucking hate the shit out of whoever's doing it.
Do they still have the same ranking convention for albums now that it's like single downloads? You know what I mean? Like, because you used to buy an album and it'd be platinum. So how do they figure that?
Well,
they also track singles and stuff.
Yeah,
too,
you have
separate metrics.
Yeah, you have sales.
Oh, you can still buy
album
a whole album.
Yeah. Yeah, you have album sales. And then you have the top.
Probably dramatically changed though. You know what I mean?
I'm sure it has.
Yeah. I think the way that they just calculate, how many downloads you have is fucking probably insane.
Like, I think it's the reason that when you look at people like Michael Jackson and you see or like fucking Nirvana or whatever, and they're like, these, you know, album sales have still never been beaten.
That's insane.
It's
because they're still selling.
Well, people are still selling.
You still go buy a Nirvana album because
like that one Nirvana song, you bought the whole album. Yeah. Now, if you really like that one Nirvana song, you can just download that one song for 99 cents. So I think it's an unfair metric to say no one's going to beat Michael Jackson sales because that era is never going to happen again.
Right?
Or everyone buys the album.
Yeah.
Everyone's just going to buy a single.
That's what I was thinking.
Or fucking bootleg it for that matter.
We should start a podcast thing. So like, our podcast could go dodecahedron, but we use like future terms. You like it?
Yeah,
I do like
it. Last month we went tetragrammaton.
We did. Yeah. So Biggie's dope. I didn't know very much about his death. I'll post that article. If you're like into the East Coast, West Coast thing, this article is so fucking in depth. I couldn't believe it. And it just, I mean, I barely even skimmed the surface.
Right.
I mean, it gets into the LA Times being complicit in it. And the LA Times was like feeding false information intentionally.
It takes is one editor or whatever to do it.
They were intentionally feeding false this information to the public about the case. Like, it was crazy, like crazy conspiracy.
I honestly remember Biggie's mom on video or on TV or the news or something, like crying and begging for people to like research the case because nobody was figuring out who killed her son.
She was surprisingly unemotional in her interviews that on the documentaries that I watched, but she
it's
was
been
like,
so long.
Well, she was working my son and why? Like,
and she was
like,
working 13 jobs. She was a Jamaican.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who shot my boy?
She saved so much money on fish heads. Yeah. People could eat a ton.
Who shot my boy?
She did. Sponsors.
I was going to say something else though, actually. Not dodecahedron. Something about, I don't know. I guess I'm just going sponsors. It's
you know what's good on
that
fish
memory
head
thing
soup?
Happened. El Yucateco Hot Sauce, that's our primary sponsor. You see what just happened? You kicked me into robo mode. Thank you, El Yucateco Hot Sauce. What was it? Ryan Lashley? Yeah.
Yes.
That's who it's Ryan Lashley.
Crying Ashley.
Crying Ashley.
Yeah.
Hit me up on Facebook Messenger and give me your address. Thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce. We will be in Chicago this weekend. This might be, it's almost the last time I can say it. No, we can still say it. I can still say it the whole time. Yeah, we will be there this weekend, December 9th from 2 to 5 p.m. at the House of Blues. So if you're in that area or you're not in that area and you're baller status and you're just like, fuck it, last minute, I'm going to buy a plane ticket. That's where we'll be, at the House of Blues in Chicago on December 9th from 2 to 5 p.m. and thereafter, later. And if we have to
My hologram will be there.
Yeah, we'll go to pizza place. Yep. I mean, we made Brad masks. Finally going to show you that we've been switching our voices the whole time.
Yes.
Yes. Brad has my voice. I have his. It's not hard. It's easy. It's the lip sync that's hard. Now that the camera started, that made it difficult. Before it was simple. So thank you to Print Dirt Cheap. You can go to printdirtcheap.com and get printed goods. And you can use code SOFAKING to save some money doing so. What else? Who else? We got Daily On Graphics. The sweatshirts actually arrived. So I'm calling myself out on this. I'm going to fucking work day and night trying to pack those motherfuckers to get them there. I don't know. We're leaving for Chicago. I'm going to do my best to try to get as many packed and shipped as I can before we leave. But they should all, even if I did it when I got back, they should all get there before Christmas. Everything should be cool. Thank you to Digital Creations for our coffee mugs and heat press goods. They are on social media at digital.creations.bakersfield. They can make you pillows, blankets, mouse pads, coffee mugs, all kinds of stuff. I know some other podcasts, some of our listeners that have their own podcasts have gotten some stuff from them. And they're really happy. And they gave me some stuff too. So I have a mug for Only the Worst, or what's it called? Not Only the Worst, Just the Worst. Fucked up. Patty Larson, Just the Worst podcast. She gave me a mug.
Fatty Lard Slim.
Fatty Lard Slim. Someone actually called her Fatty in the group the other day. They're like, hey, Fatty, what do you think about something? So it stuck. You gave her a nickname. You don't get to pick your nickname.
No, you don't.
It just happens.
Yeah, I'm stuck with Fat Cock. If people are going to call me that, I just have to deal with it. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, and then thank you to Camrio Jiu-Jitsu. You can log on to armhunter.com/babyarmhunter to find the Easter egg of the week. I don't know what it is. I'll be honest. I quit looking. It's just... it's gotten kind of out of hand. It's shocking when you look normally.
Just go there and there's a dick on the screen now.
Yeah, it's just veins.
Sorry, I'm eating a cookie. That
you have to scroll to the side. There's a scroll bar comes up now just to reach the end of it. Yeah.
Like, what is this? Scroll
Man,
over.
Man, people got mad about pasty and pasty. You guys see that?
Pasty?
No.
Yeah, the Somerton man. The apparently in the rest of the world, they have Hot Pockets and they call them pasties. And we said pasty.
Well, that's how it's fucking spelled.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
You know, I'm tired of the Australians already.
It wasn't the Australians. It was everyone. It's like British people. I get the thing everywhere.
Tired of them.
But nasty is spelled like pasty.
They didn't get mad.
I got to give them that.
The fucking British people didn't get mad about us saying they have fucking
horse teeth. How's tasty, though? Tasty has an E, though. That's why. Pasty, nasty. They're right, actually. It would have had to have an E to be pasty.
Uh-uh.
E-Y. Because
no, it wouldn't have E-Y.
Versus
it would be
nasty.
I-E.
Mm-mm. I think they're right.
Pasty is P-A-S-T-I-E.
What do you want, America, though? Fuck you guys, man. America. That's all I got to say.
I'll say what
Thank
I
want
to say.
Hot Pockets. They had Hot Pockets
on the... It's a fucking Hot Pocket.
Yeah.
You can give whatever term you want to. It's a Hot
You know
pocket.
What? They had a he was eating a bean pie.
There you go.
Fuck off.
I just like when strippers on stage have Hot Pockets on their nipples, man. So you can't see their nipples and they're not
pissed off at Australians again. Why don't you guys help out in World War II, you pieces of shit?
I knew I shouldn't have brought it up. Brad's getting all feisty. He's getting all spicy. Is that right? Is that how you say it? Spicy? Oh man, I could hang out with me all day, and I do, man. Yep. If I can just sit around and laugh,
fucking
That's a great
Abos.
Thing about having a...
All of you.
I couldn't remember what it was called, but I did it right when you said that. I knew
That's
it was
not
bad.
An insult. That's an insult.
He just did the Crocodile Dundee of World War II. That's not an insult. I'm not even going to say the word. All right. That's all I got. Oh, actually, Life Bites podcast, Breakers podcast, Mandy Pink Pussy, whatever the fuck your 14 podcasts are, go listen to them.
Can't pick your nickname.
It's Piecast and then like Sneaker Box fucking something podcast. I can't keep up. You know what I mean? I got to write
too many.
Down.
You're too many. Too helpful.
Yeah, I am. I got to quit saying your podcast because then people got mad that I didn't say their podcast. Oh. Yeah, I can't say everybody's podcast. I'm trying. True. Lots of people pay lots of money, man. I'm just being cool. I'm trying to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. All right. That's all I got.
All right. Is that? Oh, let me turn this back.
Patreon
on.
And stuff. Yeah.
Oh.
Patreon.com forward slash Sofa King Podcast.
Yeah.
All right. Don't be a retard. Wait. Let me do that again. Don't be a retard. That sound right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't be a retard.
Selling drugs to all the losers, mad Buddha abuser. But they don't know about your stress-filled day. Baby on the way, mad bills to pay. That's why you drink Tangeray, so you can reminisce and wish you wasn't living so devilish. Shit, I remember I was just like you, smoking blunts with my crew, flipping over 62s. Cause GED wasn't B-I-G, I had to get P-A-D. That's why my moms hate me. She was forced to kick me out, no doubt. Then I figured out, nicks went for 20s down south. Packed up my tools for my raw power move. Glock 19 for casket and flower moves. For Trump's trying to stop my flow, and what they don't know will show on the autopsy. Went to see Poppy to cop me a brick. Asked for some consignment, he wasn't trying to hear it. Smoking mad Newports cause I'm doing court for an assault that I caught in Bridgeport, New York. Catch me if you can, like the gingerbread man. You better have your cat in hand, cause man, to be B-I-G, the rock, the cell. No doubt, B-I-G, the rock, the cell. To be B-I-G, the rock, the cell. No doubt, B-I-G.
I had the master plan. I'm in the caravan on my way to Maryland with my man Two Techs to take over this project. They call him Two Techs, he told Two Techs. And when he start the bus, he like to ask who's next.
I got my honey on the Amtrak with the crack in the crack of her ass. 2 pounds of hash in the stash. I wait for her to make some quick cash. I told her she could be lieutenant, bitch got gas. At last, I'm literally lounging black, sitting back counting double digit thousand stacks. Had to re-up, see what's up with my peeps. Toyota dealer gone, had it cheap on the Jeep. See who got smoked, what rumors were spread. Last I heard I was dead, with sticks to the head. Then I got the phone call, it couldn't hit me harder. We got infiltrated, like Nino at the Carter. Heard Tech got murdered in the town I never heard of by some bitch named Alberta over nickel-plated burners. And my bitch, swear to God she won't snitch. I told her when she hit the bricks, I make the hooker rich. Conspiracy, she'll be home in 3. Until then, I looks out for the whole family. A true G, that's me, blowing like a bubble in the everyday struggle.
To be I-B-E-I-G, the rock, rock the